Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So you might know that over the course of the past couple of weeks, some of Ireland's most popular chefs have been telling us about their own favourite cookbooks, the ones that they come back to time and again for inspiration. And this week, it's the turn of chef and author Kevin Dundon. Kevin,
how are you?
Lovely to have you here,
to be here
with us. You were on my mind while I was off because I was mentioning to you there, I was online and I saw a video, I'd say it was an old one, of you boiling new potatoes and slathering them in Wexford butter. And I said, right, going out to get new potatoes now. And I did. So you inspired one of our dinners at home. You can't beat it, can you?
Oh, no. A good potato now, particularly the British Queens from Wexford. With, you know, and when they kind of crack open and like all that flurry potato inside is like looking at you.
I know.
Put a slab of butter on top.
Yeah. Now, you didn't skimp on the butter.
No, no. Like it was... Why? Like when you've got the new potatoes and you've got that beautiful Irish butter going
on top.
Yeah,
it's hard to resist.
Fantastic.
So listen, this has been really interesting because we've been talking to chefs about the cookbooks that they go back to, because we all say here there's always one or two books that we always, you know, go back to for the old reliables.
Yeah.
The recipes that you know are going to work. And you've brought in a selection of books here. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'm classically French trained. So that's kind of where I come from. So it's like, it's all about the foundation of cooking for me. So the eight mother sauces with the French cuisine and stuff like that. So the book that I actually always go back to in terms of for inspiration is a book called Repertoire de Cuisine. And that is a book that's kind of like a chef's Bible. So say, for example, it's like a dictionary, I guess. So, and it's not really full recipes. It's more inspirational recipes. So you might have a beautiful chicken breast coming in. So you like look up the book and you look at chicken and it would go through like 30 different garnishes that go with chicken. And it's not necessary that you would actually go with one of them, but it'll give you inspiration to come up with a dish to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's a chef's book, is it?
Yeah, but it's not even that. Like, so hold on, it's like, where's the chicken? So yeah, so if you look at like chicken breast here, so you might look at a garnish like bon femme, which you've probably heard of in a restaurant.
Heard of, which you wouldn't ask
yeah,
me to
so,
cook
but
in
now. That's just like sauteed, swilled with white wine, thickened gravy, garnished with diced bacon, small onions and baby potatoes. So there in itself, it's kind of giving you a step of how you're going to cook.
So you might take that basic recipe on somewhere else, because that's going to be quite a rich dish, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, so I would lighten it. So that brings me on to my next book. So my next book, the chef that I really respect and admire, is Thomas Kelleher from America, from the French Laundry. So it's probably one of the best restaurants in America, and it's out in Napa Valley. So it's but he's like classically French trained as well, but he's taken a lighter approach to French cuisine, because we all kind of associate French cuisine as being heavy.
Yeah.
And like very old school Escoffier, going back years and years and years, which actually Repertoire Cuisine is actually an Escoffier book. It's from 1914, so when the first edition came out. So, and then you've got Thomas Kelleher that takes, you know, the classic foundations of French cuisine and kind of lightens it. So it, like, if you, there's a whole section on different oils, for example. So it's like herb oil. So his larder is fantastic. So instead of like doing every kind of really rich, deep red wine jus, he might like do like a lovely rump of lamb that's like braised. And then it's like with a basil oil going through, or it could be a curry oil, some of that. But like...
But you're still using that French foundation.
Yeah, so the foundation is always there. And I think that's something that's we're kind of lacking in new cuisines that are out there, is because when you're classically trained, you know what goes with what. Like, so like if I go into a supermarket to go shopping for dinner tonight, for example, I would go, the first thing I would go for is my protein. So whether it's the fish or the chicken or the pork or the lamb or even vegetables, whichever I was going for. And that's my starting point. So say, for example, I picked up a loin of pork and I would automatically say to me, well, what goes with pork? And I would say, well, apple. So apple and that brings me back to my roots. So apple it helps digest pork in your body. So it's an important part.
And they taste good together.
And they taste great together. So then I would start there. And then I would go to like the vegetable section and pick up, you know, what's great with pork. Cabbage is really good. Kale is really good. You know, carrots are actually really good. So it's like, and you start mixing there, and then you get your potatoes or your couscous or your rice, and maybe you kind of go, well, maybe I'll do, because you're now thinking about food, and now you might go Indian inspired, so you might just go for Indian spices and do like an Indian spice thing.
But start with the protein.
Start with the protein and build it out.
So then, I mean, it's just really interesting to hear about your background and how you're trained and how you think about food, because the books that you then produce yourself, you're producing them for people like me.
I'm
cooking at home in my kitchen. So is that difficult to do? Because you've got to make it accessible. I don't know anything about this, you know, French background that you have when I'm cooking using your books. So
yes.
You've got to simplify it all, right?
Well, it is simplified, but it's still... The philosophy is still behind it. You just don't see it. You don't know it. But so like the foundation blocks are still the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you just like simplify it. And you know, because we're very fortunate now that we've got great butchers out there, great greengrocers, great fishmongers, and they prep a lot of the food for you. So when in my book, for example, I might say, buy a rack of lamb and have it Frenched. Well, you can go into your butchers and ask them to French it, or you can probably just buy it off the shelf Frenched already, which French means that the bones are cleaned off and
yeah.
It looks pretty.
Whereas years ago, we might have been expected to do that ourselves.
Exactly. So, and also, like, it's interesting, like, I've got an amazing book here. It's my grandmother's book, and it's like a scrap book.
That's the one
recipe.
I really want you to talk about, because that looks like the gem.
Yeah. But like I was just reading through it there yesterday again, and there's a whole section of on her describing that the new luncheon. So usually they'd have like a 3-course lunch or a 4-course lunch, and before, and they were she was comparing her house to a restaurant. And but it wasn't like snobby at all. It was just when people came to your house, what do you give them to eat for lunch? And it was explaining. She was explaining it like this dish that she was doing. Like it was 2 eggs per person, and I had peel off rice in the center with banana, which I thought was kind of weird.
It is a bit.
Yeah, weird. So
what she was writing about the new luncheon? Was she? Was she describing it?
Yeah, she was describing it. So like when you at that time, like you go to a restaurant, you might have 7 courses or 8 courses
mm-hmm.
for lunch. And it was a very long, drawn-out period. And this was a clipping that she clipped out of Good Food or Good Magazine or whatever, Good Woman's Magazine or something. And I was describing that, how to reduce our weight in a diet. So we don't necessarily need to have 7 courses. We can have 3 courses.
Then
what would you serve for a 3-course
right.
lunch? And they seem to have like this kind of cohort of women that would be writing to each other. So there's a postcard in here that's just written to my gran, and on the back is a recipe
for
that's a bread recipe. So it was but it was just, you know, instead of them buying cookbooks, they were sent postcards of a recipe from friends. Or you might have, and like even in some of the recipes in here. That's been clipped out of Good Food magazine or whichever, but there's notes on it saying, I tried it, don't do this. And then there's another one here, do not throw this recipe away. So obviously it was a genius one. So
to keep, will you hold it up so we can catch it on the camera? Because it's just fascinating. I mean,
it's like falling apart.
Well, you would expect it to. So that was your grandmother's book passed on to your mother.
Yes, and then passed on to me.
And then passed on to you.
But it was like this. It's got pins in there, so it doesn't even have, it's before safety or staples. Yeah, so it's got like clothes pins, you know, you were doing. So it's like, and here's like set fare for Christmas. The favorite recipes often get mislaid when needed most. A tiresome thing has happened. But like it's the stuffing, the chestnut soup, the brandy sauce and the orange cream. And it's like, they're great tips even today, because like when you're doing Christmas dinner, for example, you might forget these things, but these are just like set fare for Christmas.
And it's doesn't brilliant. And it doesn't change.
It doesn't change.
She's right. It is set fare for Christmas.
But tradition, well, particularly Christmas, Easter, all those special occasions, it's all about family and it's all about traditions.
And the influence on your cooking from that side, I remember in one of your books, there was a recipe for an African dish.
Yeah, babuti.
Babuti.
Yes.
And I remember cooking it actually, wondering where has this come from? But it was your mother who was brought up in Zimbabwe, is that right?
Yeah, so my grandfather was managing director for Thomas Cook Travel in the UK. And he travelled from Southampton to Victoria Falls in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe. And it was he flew on a flying boat. So he had a he wrote a whole diary on flying. He could only fly 8,000 feet or something like that during the day. So he stopped. First stop was Sicily. And he talked about the markets in Sicily, where he stayed, what he ate on board and all that. And then my mother and her mother got the Queen Mary down to Cape Town, and both my grandfather met them down there and brought them up through Africa to Rhodesia.
And they lived there for a while, did they?
Yeah, mum lived there till she was 18. So therefore, when we were growing up, we were actually eating exotic food, I guess. It's not exotic now, but back then, like lasagna was like I'm 57.
Highly unusual.
Yeah, so, but it was it's good. But my granny, she was an amazing cook. And so was my grandfather, was mad into food. His sister, I always remember, Auntie Joy, had this market garden. And I always, you know the way you get smells is one of our senses. And you walk into her house, her house was called Little Orchard. But she had this most amazing larder. So you'd walk in and all she could smell was fruit and chutneys and
like, sounds idyllic.
It was totally idyllic. And her cakes were like Victoria sponge, her brandy snaps. I always remember like all these and like afternoon teas there and stuff like that.
Well, given your background, you hardly needed to go out and buy cookbooks. You had it all there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it was all, and mum is also an amazing cook as well. So it's like, but kind of home cooking. And I think like home cooking is where it's at, really.
Yeah.
And it's like do as little as possible to your fantastic ingredients that we have here in Ireland, and just let the ingredients speak for themselves.
Kevin, it's so lovely to have you in, and that's fascinating to see that book. I wish we all had one of those. Kevin Dundon, thank you so much. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
And that is it for today. Thank you very much for being with us. The programme was produced by Ronan Coveney, researched by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Jareth Holland, and Mark Dwyer was on sound. Let's head over now to Shea Byrne.